You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand right now has one of the highest cost of housing compared to salaries in the world, beating even Australia and the United States of America. And the housing prices have been rising steadily over the last 15 years. Recently, the house prices in Auckland has dropped, and with the Reserve Bank expected to cut rates even further in August, it seems like it's a good time to buy houses. But is it really? Today, I spoke to Dr. Campbell Jones from Economic and Social Research Aotearoa, and who is also a professor of sociology here at the University of Auckland, about all things housing, housing markets, and what initiatives young people can take to get access to the property market. I started by asking Campbell Jones what he thinks is the current state of the New Zealand housing market.
So what we're in at the moment is a situation where we've got a historically very, very high value of housing and historically very low interest rates. That's the situation we're in now. And it might look superficially that, yes, this is a good time to buy if those prices are not increasing, and we hope they will increase into the future. That, however, assumes a few things. It assumes, for example, that those interest rates are going to remain low over the long term. And given that most individuals are borrowing for 30 or 35 years on a mortgage, it's unlikely that those interest rates will remain this low for that long. Was that when the interest rates increased, which in the United States was due to the Federal Reserve raising the interest rate, what we call in New Zealand the official cash rate, what happened there was that there started to be default on properties and there was a financial crisis.
But I'd like to go to the point where you talk about how there's a possibility of a financial crisis. Do you see that there's a possibility of a financial crisis happening in our near future, similar to the 2008 levels?
When we discuss any aspect of capitalism, and in particular capitalism in the post-war period, so over the, you know, the period from 1945 on, capitalism has an inherent tendency towards crisis, towards there being breakdown. And that's because of the transformative aspect of capitalism. Now, in some ways, capitalism brings great, you know, many good things because of that transformative aspect. But one of the things we can't doubt is that capitalism has with it crisis tendency. And those crisis tendencies have been unleashed, if you like, since the 1970s through a set of regulatory changes and changes in monetary policy. So the prospects for crisis increase today. So when you ask, is there prospect for a financial crisis, the question really is only when will be a financial crisis?
Currently, mortgage brokers obviously being, you know, invested in their own well-being and their own financial interests, they tend to see a lot of the positives of this, especially with some mortgage brokers talking about how we can take money from KiwiSaver superannuation to use that to fund housing. What do you see as a negative of that happening?
Well, a negative of taking money from, of course, but there's also the question of who gets access to that. And also bearing in mind that KiwiSaver was set up as a kind of supplement to or a top-up to superannuation. So as successive governments depleted superannuation, national superannuation, a payment that would be paid to people on retirement, as governments progressively moved away from that over the last 30 years, the KiwiSaver was proposed as an alternative. To now propose that we then ditch that and move into investing in housing in other ways is entirely risky. But again, all of the things we're talking about now are presupposing the legitimacy and normality of a capitalist market, and a capitalist market in housing. And unfortunately, a capitalist market in housing is one of the key problems that we've got.
Certainly. So if you see capitalist market and housing as a negative or a problem to the general free market, what do you suggest as an alternative to a capitalist market?
Well, capitalist markets have always been controlled in some kind of way. They've always been regulated or monitored. So it's not like you have a strict opposition between capitalist market and the state on the other hand. What you've really got is a question of the way in which the state relates to the capitalist market. Now, for a good part of the immediate post-war period through to the 1970s in this country, through till 82 or 84 in this country, you had state intervention that was driven by an interest to provide, for example, public housing, right? So investment in state housing and public housing was an incredible initiative in this country. And also, during that period, you had a concern over things like low interest rates. Since that period, the kind of politics that we've had from the 1980s through till now at the state level has been one that has encouraged and supported investors, right? So what you've got effectively is a state capitalist formation where what the state is doing is that it's propping up and supporting investor activity. And with that, there's a very strong lobby group that wants to support that. There are definite concrete interests, and those are the owners of property, those are the investors in property, those are the aspirational groups who want to get into that. But most significantly as well, these are the financial institutions, these are the banks, these are the lenders, these are the mortgage brokers who have a concrete interest in this market operating in something like the way it does now. That interest is diametrically opposed to most people, right? Because most people are in a situation of having to pay rent or having to pay incredible amounts of interest to their banks. And that's not in the interest of those people. That's a relation of exploitation in which, you know, most normal people are paying rental interest to other people who benefit not by working, but because they own capital. And that's the relation of exploitation that we've got at the heart of the capitalist market right now. And the state is supporting that. The state is supporting that to the extent that the state in this country, even the so-called left-wing parties, are afraid to even think about alternatives that would even modestly challenge those groups. It took a long, long time for this government to come to the idea that we'd even have healthy homes as a basic right. And this government, remember as well, has been crippled by its inability to even talk about, in a sensible way, a tax on capital gains on homes.
Yep, excellent. My next question, luckily you segued into the Healthy Homes Initiative. Definitely mortgage brokers that we've spoken to have blamed the Healthy Homes Initiative as one of the key reasons that investors are holding on to their housing stock and not selling because they don't want to upgrade and do the modifications that the government has asked them. So could you tell me, how do we come to this point that we don't have good homes to sell and that we are in this situation where we have like sort of like an artificial inflation because people are holding on to housing stock?
Well, I mean, the Healthy Homes Initiative is very complex. There are many aspects to it. And I think if we're going to approach it in a sensible kind of way, we need to understand that when people are making money, when people are investors who are making money, they're not necessarily making money because they're providing something that's good. They're making money because they're in a situation of control. And for many, many years, there were very few other options in New Zealand for housing. And there are very few options. The selling off of public housing, of state housing, is one of the reasons why there are few options for many people. And that's why people are put into paying extortionate rents. Why haven't we had healthy homes in New Zealand historically in the past? Well, that's in good part because of the low levels of regulation, the lax regulation we've had about housing for many, many, many years. Minimum standards have been well established across the developed capitalist West for many years, and by comparison, New Zealand's been well behind the game on that. And one of the reasons for that is because people who own, you know, landlords have an interest in getting rent. And that might mean that they need to provide a decent house, but it might mean that they don't. And in many cases, we've had landlords who have been screaming blue murder at the idea that they would provide heating, insulation, even a toilet or running water in their home. And so we have landlords who are letting out garages, who are caravans, totally substandard accommodation, cabins in camping grounds. I mean, totally substandard accommodation by what you could expect today. And because they've not been pressured to do that, and because there are so few options for real people, people in real situations of need don't have other options than to pay this extortionate rents.
Yes, that's certainly the case. The only way that, you know, young people today can get into the housing market is either to share the mortgage with their friends, co-sharing, that, you know, we are unable to go in as a single person to buy a house. What is your advice to young people if they're trying to get into the housing market? What should they do, you know, at this situation?
I mean, I'm loath to give advice to young people. I think that generally people of my generation, I'm someone who was born in the 1970s, generally I think people of my generation need to be listening to young people and hearing what they say and getting really out of advising and telling young people what to do and what to think. I think they should be listening to radio stations like this one, and they should be finding out what's happening in youth culture and listening to young people. And so what I'd say to young people, and in particular those young people who are angry, those young people who are organising, those people who are becoming militant, those who are listening to radical rap music, those who are fighting in the streets, I would say be strong and change this world. And this government, and by that I mean all of the parties that we have in power now, are totally unfit for purpose. So make another party. That's what young people should be doing. If you only think about getting on the housing ladder, then you'll have idiotic advice from mortgage brokers who come along and say things like, most Kiwis get given money by their mummy and daddy. That's not true. A small group of people get given some money, gifted early or inheritance money from the parents, but most people are being locked out and are locked out of the market forever. So what young people I encourage them to do is to do what they're already doing, which is thinking creatively about the way in which we can have collective ownership, that we can have housing. All right, that we can have housing for all, we have housing for all of a decent quality. To do that requires some challenges, right? And the challenges are massive.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.